Okay. So today we're going to discuss the Kabbalah of Chat GPZ. But before we get to that, we're going to... if you haven't heard about it, I'll get to it soon. Let's talk about burnout. Burnout happens to all kinds of people in all kinds of situations. There are people who begin their career in teaching with a fire, with a heart. They really want to reach their students. They really want to inspire. They want to share. They take classes, and they have a whole dream of how they're going to make this happen. And then they enter the classroom for a day, for a week, for a month, for a year, for a decade, for 2 decades. And what happens is that they burn out. They don't have the same kind of drive and excitement they had when they started. Same happens also often in a marriage. Starry-eyed couple, very excited about each other. And as time goes on, they're not so excited about each other as they were before. And when you have experienced burnout in a profession as well, you have this belief that your business is going to work and it doesn't turn out the way you expected it to. You're in it for a long time. So what happens is you start having symptoms of burnout. Some of the symptoms are depression, you're lethargic, you're lazy, you're not able to execute, make things happen. So there are some starry-eyed people out there who never burn out. They're just always excited, and they're always happy, and they always love it, and they're always just great, and it's fantastic. And the question is, what are they drinking? And how can we get some? So we're going to learn from the lens of this week's Torah portion a perspective, a very profound perspective, on how to deal with this very important issue, and very relevant to the time we're in, as we shall see, many reasons. This week's Torah portion discusses the construction of the tabernacle through Bezalel, who this synagogue is named after, Beis Bezalel. And Bezalel, the architect of the temple, the Torah says, he does exactly what Hashem commanded Moshe. And the question is, why does it say what Hashem commanded Moshe? Why doesn't it say what Moshe commanded him? He didn't hear directly from Hashem. Why does it say what Hashem commanded Moshe? So Rashi actually says that there's some things that Bezalel did that Moshe didn't tell him. That he knew that Hashem wanted him to do that without him being told. Someone told me today, I never heard this before, I don't know the source, that Bezalel knew which money was meant to go for which things. People brought gold, silver, copper, and he was able to tell from the spiritual energy in the money, or the object that they brought, this belongs in the Holy of Holies. This belongs in the menorah. This belongs in the table. This belongs in the altar. He was able to tell. That's what someone told me today. I don't know the source. But another interpretation, simple interpretation of Rashi, which we'll see is not simple at all. Rashi says this. Moshe and Bezalel have this conversation. Moshe tells Bezalel, this is how you build a tabernacle. You first got to make the table and the ark, and you got to make the menorah, and then you got to build the building. And Bezalel's like, whoa, Moshe, that's not how you do things. The way the world works is, first you build the building, and then you make the furniture. That's the way things work in the world. And what does Moshe respond? Incredulously, wow. You must have been in the shadow of Hashem when we were speaking. When me and Hashem were speaking, you must have been there somewhere, but I didn't see you, and that's how you knew this. How else did you figure this out? That's the conversation. Problem with this conversation is, number one, if Hashem indeed told Moshe that he should build the building first and then build the furniture, how come Moshe didn't say it that way? How come Moshe didn't say what Hashem told him? Moshe is someone who the divine presence speaks through his throat. How could he not do it the right way? How did he make that mistake? How does it make sense? Interesting. So another question is, if you look at Parshas Truma, where we have the instruction of Hashem to Moshe, it's written in the Torah, what does it say first? What does it say there first? It says there first, make the ark, make the menorah, make the table, make the altar, and only then does it say make the building. So that's actually the way Hashem said it to him in Parshas Truma. In Parshas Kisisa, it says it differently, but that definitely was a way that Hashem conveyed it to Moshe. So what's going on over here? How can Moshe say, oh, this is the way Hashem said it? It wasn't the way Hashem said it. Hashem said to make the table and the ark first. There's a fascinating explanation from the Ion Yaakov, a sage from the 17th century, from Prague, who said the following. He says in the Gemara Menachos, how did Moses know how to build everything? How did Bezalel hear from Moses how to build everything? Where did it come from? So Gemara says that there was actually a table of fire that descended from heaven. There's a table of fire, there's a menorah of fire, there's an altar of fire. All the components of the temple were spiritual, and they became manifest in this world. Moshe saw these spiritual things, and based upon what he saw, he knew how to build them, because he saw them. He saw them spiritual counterpart of all these things. Except for one. There's one thing Moshe didn't see. What didn't Moshe see? Moshe didn't see the actual building of the tabernacle. Why not? Because the Zohar says, Hashem will not construct a spiritual temple until there's a physical temple. First, there is a spiritual, physical temple, and only once it's a physical temple can there be a spiritual one. And that is why, says the Ion Yaakov, that Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed to Bezalel first the articles inside the tabernacle, the furniture, and only, or the items, the kelim, the vessels of the tabernacle, and only then did he tell him about the building. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking from the plane of the spiritual environment that he was in. Moshe Rabbeinu heard, he saw the table, and he saw the menorah, he saw all the spiritual components which existed before there was any physical creation of anything. And that's why he said it in that order, based upon what he was shown from heaven. But Bezalel, however, he was commanded by Hashem through Moshe, of actual building is supposed to be done, with you first build a building and then build the components inside the building. But Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking from the spiritual lens of how he sees things in heaven. And what does he see in heaven? He doesn't see the building. Sorry, he only sees. Oh, sorry, it was accident. And he only sees the components inside the building, because that's only those. Only the spiritual components of the building were there, not actual. Well, there was no actual fiery building, just a fiery table and a fiery altar and a fiery menorah, but no fiery building.
Why not?
Because the Zohar says Hashem will not construct the spiritual fiery building, the spiritual building of the tabernacle, until there's a physical one. So, according to what we explained till now, we have answered all of our questions. However, but the Torah is not just a storybook. Everything in Torah is a message for us. And what does this story have to do with us? There must be something deeper in this exchange between Moshe and Bezalel. What is Moshe's perspective? What's Bezalel's perspective? And what's the depth going on over here? So you have this interesting discussion about the creation of the world. What did Hashem make first? Did he first make light, or did he first make the world? Did he make the world first, or did he make light first?
Light.
So Rabbi Yehuda says, like Rabbi Beryl, Rabbi Yehuda says, first Hashem made light, and then he made the world. And he says, why? First, you have to see where to put, a king first looks out through the light, where he's going to put the foundation of the building. And once he sees where the foundation of the building is supposed to be, upon that he makes the building. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Nechemya says, no. First Hashem built the world. And he tells you why. First the king builds a palace. And once he builds a palace, then he illuminates a palace with light. So first Hashem made the world. And once Hashem made the world, then he made light. So here too, the discussion is not just a physical discussion. Because if it was a physical discussion, how could they both be right? You know, everything in the Torah is true. How could Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya both be right if they're talking about the chronology of when Hashem created light? There's actually a deeper discussion going on. The deeper discussion is based upon a very central concept in Hasidus and Kabbalah called lights and vessels. The light of something means its inner content, its meaning, its purpose, its soul, its essence. The vessel of something means its existence, what it is, the components of what that thing actually is, the properties of what that thing has. Let's say, for example, the phone. Before there is a phone, there is the idea of why we should need a phone. You want to be able to contact someone across the world, so therefore you need to create a phone. First you have the idea of why you want a phone, and once you have the idea, then you're able to create the phone after you have the idea. The idea comes first. Before there is the creation by Newton of electricity, there is the idea of what this thing is. No, I didn't know? Just got hit by lightning?
Maxwell.
Oh, thank you. What did Newton do? Newton made a light bulb, right?
Edison.
I'm sorry, Edison. Thank you very much. Edison, thank you. So Edison has to actually have a bulb. He may have great ideas. He may have fantastic ideas. He may have big dreams. But if you don't have an actual plan of implementing those ideas, they're not really worth anything. So let's talk about this in a practical level. With a husband and wife, they before they get married, they meet each other, there's courtship, they talk to each other, there's this thread of understanding that the Rebbe describes that they have of each other, this little flame, a tiny little flame, and because of this, they decide, you know what, we're going to build our lives together. They share principles of life, they share a dream, and after they have this great big dream, what happens? They get married. Oh, when they get married, what happens then? So they get married, so then they have to go to get a marriage license. And they have to go get an apartment. They have to buy dishes. And they have to unpack the wedding presents. And they have to go take the dishes and immerse them in the mikveh. And if you're anyone not like me, you teach your wife that very early on, not why you shouldn't be sent to be the one to immerse the dishes in the mikveh, because you break 3 out of 4 of the dishes. Anyways, so you have children, and you invest.
Right, thank you notes.
Thank you. And there's all these little things you're doing. And because you're doing all these little things, you slowly forget about the big dream of why you guys got together in the first place. And a similar thing happens also with our children. You want your children to go to school, and you want them to have diapers, you want them to have a crib. And think about this practically. You could be talking about the external beauty of your home, and it's important to the external beauty of your home because you have a dream of what this home is meant to accomplish. And that's why you bought the home. But then you get so preoccupied with all these little things that go on, that you forget about the big dream. And what happens is because you forget about this big dream, you burn out. Burnout is because you focus on the details and you forget about the dream. And it happens naturally because as you get involved in the details, you're moving away from the dream. You're focusing on the details. And when you feel burnout, you're getting a phone call from Hashem. I don't know if this story is true or not, but the story is going around about this woman getting called again and again and again, and she figures it's a prank call, it's a scam, whatever. She finally answers the phone. And what was the call? The call was, you have won the lottery. She won the lottery. She thought it was a prank call, but it was really, she won the lottery. I know if I answered the call and they told me I won the lottery, I'd still hang up on them. I wouldn't believe them. But anyways, but Ed McMahon, and you told me that a long time ago. You know, speak to Ed. What happens is, when you feel burnout, you're getting a phone call from Hashem. And the phone call from Hashem is saying this. You're getting a phone call, and Hashem is saying, yes, you're dried up. And when you're dried up, you need to do something. What do you need to do? You need to dig deeper. When there's a river, and the river is dried up, what do you need to do? You need to dig deeper, and then discover more reservoirs of water. So to yourself, you have to dig deeper. You have to see, how do we forget our dreams? Maybe your communication isn't so good. Maybe you have to start listening more to your spouse, hear what they're saying. Maybe you have to be a little more patient, a little less judgmental, so that you could start communicating a different way. Sometimes you have parents who have big dreams for their children. And because they have big dreams for their children, they make a lot of rules. Like, let's say a very conservative parent, he says to his child, you know, you're not allowed to have a smartphone until you turn like 200, right? Until you're 200 years old, you're only 12. You're like a long time ago. So they make a lot of rules. And what happens to the child? The child grows up with all these rules. When the Berachas HaMazon, okay. The child grows up with all these rules. And although he grows up with all these great rules, he may not know why to keep all those rules. Because the parents aren't conveying that to them. All they're doing is making the vessel, they're making the plan, but there's no life. They're not giving the child anything to live for. They're just saying, these are the things you cannot do, but they don't tell the child what he could do. Because the parents aren't into their dreams. They're not into the purpose. They're not into the content. They're just focusing on the here and now of what has to get done. And they're totally forgetting about the soul and the meaning and the goal of what they really are trying to do with all the rules that they made. So, I think this is very similar to the big discussion today about ChatGPT. That's how you say it? GPT?
GPT,
thank you. Thank you, Zalman. So how does it work? You put into this thing an idea, and then it develops an amazing thing. People wonder, well, this will replace human beings, this will replace jobs. And the truth is that it could do a lot, but all that it's doing is it's making a vessel for your light. It's never going to replace your dream and your content and your goal. That's Well, you put it. All this does is make a vessel for it. So there's a marked difference between the human being and the AI, and the difference is you are the one who has the soul and the goal, and you know where it needs to go, and this is just creating stuff around that, creating a whole body, whole idea. And it's true that if you have a great idea and you don't have the vessel for it, you can't accomplish much. But on the other hand, without just having the raw material, without having the goal, it's also worthless. So this is a discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. Hashem made the world. For what purpose? Why Hashem? He wants a home. He wants it to bring light to the world. So what's the first thing that exists? The existence of the world, or the purpose of the world? The purpose of the world exists before there is a world. Before there's a world, Hashem thinks he has a big dream. By the way, very relevant to this week's Torah portion. When was Hashem's big dream for creation? On what date did Hashem have this dream? What date did Hashem think about creating the world? According to Kabbalah, yes, sir. 25th
of Adar.
Very good. It was Exodus this morning. That's all you know. It's very good. On the 20th day of Adar, Hashem had a big dream for creation. Why didn't he only create it 6 months later on the 25th day of Elul? That's a different subject. But let's say, according to Kabbalah, I'll tell you. Huh?
Shubha.
He was retiring for 6 months and he went.
Yeah, for Shubha.
The 20th day of Adar is when Hashem planned creation. When they actually build the world, the 20th day of Elul. What that means is, the month of Adar and Nisan, I suppose the month of Elul and Tishrei, a very different energy. This is the month about miracles. This is the month about redemption. This is the month about, as we say in Farsi, Piruzi Male Amas. This is a month of victory. This is a month where Hashem frees us from all limitations. So that's the goal. The goal is that there should be light in the world. The goal is that we should see Hashem's presence here. And that's what Hashem made first. Hashem made first a plan. The plan is He wants there to be, and actually this Shabbat, which is the 25th day of Adar, it's a day when we're able to recalibrate ourselves so that our lives should be in sync with Hashem's plan. This Shabbat Hashem empowers us to turn towards His plan. That our thoughts, we're empowered this Shabbat to look at our thoughts, to work on the business of our minds instead of just thinking. To think about how are we thinking? What is the lens we're looking at the world? Is our big dream in sync with His big dream? So Rabbi Yehuda says that first there is the light, then there's the vessel. First, that's the first thing there is. First there's Hashem's plan, then Hashem makes the world. And Nechemiah says, yes, that's true. Of course Hashem makes the light before the vessel. Of course a plan is the plan. But when do you see the plan becoming manifest? You only see the plan becoming manifest after you do a lot of things first. Every year they have this conference of Chabad rabbis in New York, the Knesset Shluchim, and one conference, one rabbi gets up. It resonates a lot with me. This, he says, I went to this town, and I taught people in the town about Shabbos, about kosher. I connected heart to heart, soul to soul with so many people, inspired so many people, and it was amazing. And I felt so much love and so much happiness in what I was doing. And it grew, and there was an energy in the town. And then I had to build a Chabad center. And all of a sudden, I became the janitor, I became the program director, I became the contractor, I became the architect, I do all these little things. And he was upset. He was like tears in his eyes, like I'm not doing the mission anymore. I'm not part of the mission. I'm now this like this architect, this contractor, this office manager. It's not where's the dream? And what are the people, his friends, his fellow shluchim tell him? You could do a lot of light with one person, one on one. But through the vessel you're creating, you can expand that light so much more. The vessel is really important. So it's true that the couple is getting burnt out. They have to spend time together. They have to connect with each other. They have to go back to their dream. That's true. But on the other hand, the vessel is key. So Rabbi Nechemiah says the first thing Hashem made is the vessel. That's the goal. That's what Hashem made physically. The goal is the coming of Mashiach. That will be realized by us focusing on the details of creation itself. Getting back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And
by the way, this is the same idea that Hashem wants to be here in this world. But first, you have to build the Mishkan that He will have the place to be.
Oh, so there's first the physical world, then there's the plan. But what before Hashem made the world, we also had the plan to begin with. So with Moshe and Bezalel, this is how it works. Moshe is the man of light. Moshe is the one the Torah says about him, Hashem says about him. He looks at the picture of Hashem. He sees things through Hashem's picture. So if what does Moshe say? What's first in Moshe's eyes? What's the first thing? Moshe says the first thing is the light of the temple. What's the light of the temple? The inside of the temple. The ark and the menorah and the table, all the things that bring light to the world. That's the main thing. That's the first thing that's there. According to Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the first thing? The first thing is the light. What does Betzalel mean? Betzalel means shade. There's the light, and then there's the shade. Shade is what obstructs light. So Betzalel says, "Benoik sheba olam." It's true, Moshe Rabbeinu, that the purpose of everything is Hashem's light should be manifest. However, the way that has to happen is, step one is I'm making the world itself by making the vessel for it first. You have to have first the vessel, then you can create the light. You can't have a light without the vessel. You have to focus on the vessel. Therefore, Betzalel says the first thing that's made is the vessel, is the building, the vessel for the light. And Moshe says the first thing that's made is the components, the inside, the light of the temple. So bottom line, my friends, is this Shabbos, Hashem gives us the power to get in touch with the dream, in touch with the goal, in touch with the coming of Mashiach. It should be something we think about. Every one of us said a prayer today. What was the prayer we said today? Hashem, save us. The King should answer us on the day that we call. What day is that? Today. Do we think we daven that we're actually talking to Hashem? They want to answer us today, the day we're calling out to Him? Melech Anim Kareinu. So are we in touch with the big dream? Do we know where we're really going? Or are we dried out? Are we like, when we forget about what we do, a lot of Torah mitzvahs? Do we know that this is all about the coming of Mashiach? It's all about the revelation of Hashem in the world. Or are we just like, we're just focusing on the vessel? So this Shabbos tells us to go back and think about the purpose. Think about the purpose of educating your child, bringing him to shul, telling him to say a lot of words. Some parents, they tell the child to say a lot of words of davening. And they feel tortured saying all those words in davening, and since I was inflicted to have to say all these words, I'm going to inflict my child too. And they give the child a piece of gum, and that's the way that I'm going to give you this piece of gum, so they'll suffer through the same thing that I suffer through, because I'm going to torture you, and may have to say all the words of davening just like me, but I'll give you a gum to make this suffering worth. Or are you actually doing something meaningful? Anyway, Hashem should help us all. We should get in touch with the real meaning of what it's all about, and we should see the coming Mashiach right away. Machai.